Welcome back. 537, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, Rich Campbell, Washington Times Redskins reporter. What? It's March. Why are we talking about the Redskins? Well, there have been a few changes, right, Rich?
We're talking about the Redskins 12 months out of the year, Andy.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There is no offseason in the NFL, especially with this team. But actually, you know what? The Redskins aren't going to be as active this offseason as they have been in past years. Remember, last year, it was just 1 hour into free agency that the Redskins signed Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan and Adam Carriker. They were, you know, giving out these multi-million-dollar deals. Well, free agency started this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and the Redskins, because of the salary cap penalty imposed upon them by the league and agreed to by the players' union last March, they don't have much salary cap space. So the big splash they've made so far in the first hour of free agency is they re-signed their punter, Savrucka,
with a 2-year deal. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's good news. All right. But let's talk about the salary cap issue for a minute, because I understand that Bruce Allen mentioned it yesterday in the press conference, and I get the idea that they're not real happy. They kind of thought that maybe something would have been turned around, but it didn't happen?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, if you go back to the eve of free agency last year, the NFL and NFLPA, the Players Association, they voted to amend their collective bargaining agreement to include this $36 million penalty in salary cap space. And Bruce Allen's take on Monday was that the Redskins really never had it explained to them why this penalty was imposed. The NFL has said because the Redskins moved contracts, they restructured some contracts to take advantage of the 2010 season, which did not have a salary cap. And basically, Allen's implication was that the committee who bargained on behalf of the NFL was basically afraid that the Redskins were an up-and-coming team, and some of the members of that committee, John Mara, who owns the Giants, is a big rival of the Redskins. I believe there was an executive from the Eagles involved, which is another division rival of the Redskins. So, and he basically he said it was unfair. His exact words yesterday called it a travesty of fairness. And so the Redskins really have no more recourse in trying to get some of the salary cap penalty space back. They went through arbitration last year. They lost an arbitration on a technicality. The NFLPA tried to sue the league for collusion, basically saying that the owners in the NFL colluded and all agreed to work off of a informal salary cap in the year that there wasn't one. The Redskins didn't follow that, therefore they were punished. So the union alleged collusion. They lost that on a technicality as well. So the Redskins basically yesterday said, they waved the white flag defiantly, and they said they'd move on. It's pretty complicated stuff, but basically, you know, what fans have to know is that the Redskins are operating with a salary cap this season that's $18 million less than every other team in the league, with the exception of three teams, and so it's a significant disadvantage to what they're able to do this offseason.
All right, so as a result, we've seen some victims of the salary cap. I guess the biggest, D'Angelo Hall?
No question. Yeah, D'Angelo Hall was scheduled to count $8 million against the Redskins' salary cap, and the team released him yesterday and used that space over the weekend to re-sign a bunch of their free agents, guys that aren't making tons of money, about $1 million a year. So it was a casualty. The Redskins didn't want to get rid of D'Angelo Hall. They already have needs in the secondary, and D'Angelo was their best-rated cornerback, and now they're without him, and they're going to have to try to find some salary cap space here to sign another corner. Because they've really got this need that they feel they were strong-armed into creating there, but they really had no choice.
All right, let's talk about some other players. Santana Moss. I heard that he was on the cutting board, but he evidently has restructured his deal with them.
That's right. Same with Adam Carriker on defense. So I think the Redskins front office looked at some of these contracts and presented some of these players with an ultimatum, saying, "Look, we don't want to release you, but here are the numbers. The numbers don't lie. We're stuck with this penalty. We've got to move on." and they present them with these options. And you know, Moss will be 34 in June. He's not really looking to start in a new place. Adam Carricker's coming off a quadriceps tendon tear. He's not really in a position to make a lot of money as a free agent if the Redskins were to release him. So those two guys restructured their contracts to save the Redskins a bit of space. After Moss was finished, they had about $3 million. Savarukha signing today probably puts them about $2 million worth of space. So they're still really up against the cap with a lot of free agents out there.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Banks gone, right?
Yeah, Brandon Banks is gone. He was the only restricted free agent that the Redskins let go. They protected the rights to guys like Darrell Young, a fullback, Logan Paulson, the tight end. What we'll really watch now is what's going to happen with linebacker Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah.
Alexander's a fan favorite. He was a Pro Bowler on special teams last year. From a personal standpoint, he was voted the media guy 2 years in a row, so he's a great quote, always accessible, so I like to see him in the team for that reason. But I'm not sure the Redskins have the money to sign him.
Yeah.
Lorenzo said, you know, I'll re-sign with the Redskins if they're competitive, but they can't be too far off. And I just don't know whether the Redskins are going to be able to come up with enough money to sign a guy who's a backup on defense and play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how the market for his services evolves.
Nose tackle Chris Baker gone?
Nope, he's back. He was one of the restricted
they
tendered. So they brought him back
at
$1.3 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. You get a commitment here from the organization. It's pretty obvious. You have this commitment to keep last year's team intact as much as possible.
Yeah,
but I think as they go forward and they have to make some tough decisions, they're leaning towards retaining guys rather than going out and signing people from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Last week, sports editor Mike Harris was sitting in here with me. We were talking about the story of, I guess LeVar Arrington brought up the fact that he thought Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, would be a great, you know, addition to the Redskins. You see that as a possibility?
Yeah, you know what I do? Because the Redskins are in a position now where they have limited resources. And so they're going to have to try to maximize those resources. And I think a way that they might be able to do that is take a chance on a player like Mathieu, who was a stellar defensive back at Louisiana State in 2011. He finished as a runner-up to Robert Griffin in the Heisman voting that year. So that's the type of level he played at. And he was out of football last year because he had drug problems, alcohol problems,
right,
spent a year in therapy. So that's going to scare other teams away from him, really going to depress his value. But when you look at how this guy plays, he's worth adding to your team if you just take the on-field stuff. And
mm-hmm.
So I think what the Redskins are going to have to try to do is maybe find a bargain like that. And
yeah.
In the case of Mathieu, the bargain means what level of draft pick are you going to have to use to get him. If
yeah.
you have to use a second-round pick, no, that's not worth it. That resource is too valuable. The opportunity cost is too high if Mathieu relapses, and so you would lose such a high pick. But if he falls to like the fourth or fifth round, then he's absolutely worth taking a chance on. He would fill a need for the Redskins.
Yeah. All right, and finally, what's the latest on RG3? You know anything?
Yeah, Mike Shanahan yesterday, this is a bit refreshing, actually. Yeah, he said Griffin's doing well, which goes along with everything we've heard. But Shanahan said, you know, is he going to be ready for week one? I have no idea. And I think that's the type of realism that the Redskins need to express when they're talking about him. Anything can happen between now and then in terms of his rehab or a setback. All you can say is that he continues to be on or ahead of schedule, and Shanahan clarified, by ahead of schedule, that means the trainers believe that Griffin's leg muscles are stronger than they expected them to be at this time. So he just continues to progress towards July. It won't be until then that we get a good idea for his status for the regular season, but all signs are good at this point.
All right. Very good. As always, thank you, Rich. Appreciate the update. We'll keep tabs on the Washington Redskins, and we know you will, so we'll talk again. See ya. Rich Campbell, Washington Times Redskins reporter, 546, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.